Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I am Lee Cantor, and I am joined in the studio with Mr. Stone Payton. How are you doing today, Stone?
I am doing well, man. You know, I've been bachelor for over a week now. My wife's in London, my kid's in the Caribbean, and I've been eating steak every night. It's been a blast. I've gained 10 pounds.
It's not easy being you, Stone. So, I've been batching. I've been doing that too. My family's in Florida, and they're coming back tonight, so I'm excited about that.
Cool.
But we've been pretty busy. A lot of stuff happening in the Business Radio X world.
We got a ton of stuff going on, man. With this new partnership with Business Marketing Atlanta, that's been a lot of fun. And again, you know, food, it's also food-centric. Who knew radio was going to be so food-centric?
I did not realize that.
So on the 14th, we're getting back out there with those guys at Maggiano's. They've got the lady from Google is the speaker. I can't begin to pronounce her last name, but Ashley with Google is your speaker out there at Business Marketing Atlanta next week. And then you and I are leaving Maggiano's, and we're bolting to the airport. We're headed to New York for something you conned me into. What's that thing all about?
That is... as Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy, one of the shows that I participate in, we are going to New York to be part of a panel of the media.
And here's the helpful hint for our listeners. He is not Dr. Fitness.
No, I am the other one. I am the fat guy.
So what's that deal about? The people are actually coming. It's like American Idol, right?
They're pitching us. Speed dating for all these experts to come to try to pitch to be part of the different shows. And there's 100 people representing the media, of which Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy are one of them.
It's all very heady. It's a lot of fun, but one thing that I'm doing that you're not directly plugged into, and I probably, I don't know if I've mentioned it or not on the other 8 radio shows I've been on in the last week and a half, but for those listeners who are not up to speed, Monica Pearson now, I guess.
Yes.
And Stone, emceeing the 101 Best and Brightest Thing on June 20th.
And you are with Monica Kaufman.
No, Monica is with me.
You.
Monica will be joining me, emceeing that event. But we're going to do the remote broadcast thing.
Oh, that's right. We're going to bring the whole
The big black cases and the headphones
Break
and the microphone.
So,
man, this just beats the heck out of working, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I love it.
So what do we got today?
Today we have a couple of gentlemen who are involved in this effort downtown at 200 Peachtree, Mr. Robert Galanti and Alan Urich. Welcome, gentlemen.
Glad to be here.
Well, we are delighted.
Good morning, Stone.
Yeah, good morning, sir. We are delighted to have you. Now, we had a chance, Lee. We went out and we saw the place.
It's beautiful.
It is beautiful, but now some of it's not quite built out yet. The atrium, though, is absolutely gorgeous. That was cool.
Yeah, you're not going to see a more beautiful chandelier thing. How many chandeliers do you have over there, Robert?
We've got 5.
5. Yeah. That is just stunning.
And, I mean, how big are these chandeliers? They're huge. Yeah.
They are bigger than you and I put together.
So tell us a little bit about this space and what you guys are trying to accomplish with it. How did this thing even get on your radar?
We've got a group of about 25 Atlanta natives, and we grew up with the Macy's Davison's building. So it's been on our radar screen just about forever. And it had been vacant, and we saw it, and we thought, wouldn't it be great if this could regain its splendor as the center of Atlanta and the center of downtown, because it is smack dab in the middle of downtown. And so nearly 3 years ago, we purchased the bottom half of the building, about 200,000 feet. And during the course of the last 3 years of interesting economic environment,
do you have a political background?
We figured out as best as we could what would be the best use for we group of investors and for downtown Atlanta and for the city.
So you didn't think of that before you bought it? You had to wait a couple years?
Lee, let us say we tweaked it as we went along.
Okay.
Well, I got to believe when the idea first came up, did 24 out of the 25 look at you like the RCA Victor dog? Like, what are you smoking? Or did everybody say, yeah, I can see that. I can envision it.
Stone, if they did not look at us that way, they should have.
So is it now, what percentage is finished?
Well, keep in mind that we've got the bottom half of the building.
Right.
Upstairs from us are 5 floors of office, and we've got the bottom 3 floors.
Right.
And that is roughly 2/3 finished. The top 2 of the 3 floors are leased, and in self-operation by ourselves.
And then you've been running events there. That's been going on for a while now.
We opened up in the summer of 2010, and we've had over 100 events.
Wow.
Wow.
So there's a need for this kind of space, obviously, if you already threw 100 of them in there.
The market is showing us that, indeed, there is a need for this space. Combination of location, capacity, grandeur, access to hotels.
Has the speed in which you're getting these events surprised you, or was this part of the plan?
It has gratified us. Of course, being impatient developers as we are, the speed can always be higher, but we are gratified by the response we've received by the market.
So what kind of events do you have there?
Stone, it is. We like to regard ourselves as versatile. For example, a couple of weeks ago, we had a corporate dinner in there, 750 seated for dinner, and using our recently installed rigging points in the ceiling of our grand atrium to have Cirque du Soleil trapeze artists swinging amid the 750 seated diners.
While they're eating?
I think so. I think so.
Wow. Let's do that at the next Business Radio X Mixer. Let's
get that. Maybe here we can have that. We can.
Is that not wild? Cool.
So we have weddings. We have corporate events, bar mitzvahs.
You've even had a boxing match, right? I saw this this picture that's got to go down in history with that boxing ring with those chandeliers hanging. That's like an iconic picture.
And in fact, we have our second boxing event in about a week and a half.
Because it was such a big success.
I have the perfect undercard for you. Lee Cantor and Danny Bonaducci.
Yeah, there you go.
Is there room for that?
Lee, what say you?
Let's go. Let's throw down.
And so one of the things that really caught my eye, the chandeliers, they're just absolutely gorgeous, but the glass in that building and those arches, I mean, that is just absolutely gorgeous. And it looks like you've made a conscious decision to preserve much of the history in that building, haven't you?
Stone, this is a fun topic you've just brought up, and let me go ahead and give you the fullness of the answer.
Yeah.
You mentioned two of the six touches we've endeavored to preserve. You mentioned the amber glass and the arches on Ella Street and on Peachtree Street. You also mentioned the chandeliers. In addition, we have kept the original floor, the escalators, the portion of the mezzanine balcony railing that was original, and finally the 1927 Italian-crafted capitals atop the columns.
So is that the age of the building, 1927?
It is. 1927, wow. So I guess that makes it pushing 85 years now.
Wow.
And so how do the hotels in the area feel about this? Are they excited? Are they a little bit threatened? Have you found a way to partner with them? Or is it just depends upon the outfit?
Fortunately, there's not any sense of feeling threatened, and their response will take more hold as we get open. But what we envision as to the hotels category of our market, that will be something like the gym or the spa, which is an amenity to the guest.
Right.
If you'll think about it like this, you'll have that number of guests which find usefulness and value in the spa. Well, we believe that in the year 2011 and going forward, there may be even more guests that would love to get out of their hotel room and out of the hotel lobby for a place to tap away at their laptop, meet people, and be in that type of an environment for that type of work.
Now, there's a bunch of hotels there that don't have any space for meeting rooms, right? Now,
there are.
Is this something that you're all working together, or is it? Are you guys kind of by yourself in this?
That's a very good question, and it leads to one of the areas of our development. We are in the early stages putting together what we call the Consortium of Historic Atlanta Hotels. That's a kind of a long title. But there are about a half dozen historic buildings, mostly which were not originally intended as hotels, that have been converted to hotels. There are two of them directly across Ella Street from us, one being the Ellis Hotel, and the other opened about a month and a half ago, the Marriott Courtyard, in what had been the old Carnegie Building. The Ellis Hotel, to back up a moment, had been the old Wyckoff Hotel. There are other hotels within two blocks, the Hampton Inn and the Residence Inn, which had been the old Rhodes Haverty And then there's the Atlanta Marriott, not quite as old as these others. But for the most part, these old buildings have no conference space, no event space.
Right, so they just have rooms, right?
They have rooms to sleep in. And what we would like to provide is really two things: to be part of an assemblage of the rooms for a greater critical mass so that they can attract that additional convention market by having, say, 800, 1,500 rooms instead of just 150. And then second, we at 200 Peachtree would provide the event space and conference space.
Right. No, that would be great. And so everybody's open to that? Is that what you're finding?
We are seeing very good response to it. And we think the sector of that market is for the that hotel guest who wants a little more privacy, a little more boutiqueness than the usual very large hotel.
Right. Now, as part of this initiative, you're all having to work together. Is this, are you guys spearheading this part of this?
We are not spearheading that effort, but we are a very willing part of it because of the role we'll play within that totality.
Right. Now, but yeah, as the meeting space, as the center for the meeting space, do you guys have, like, your own catering? Is that all built in, or do the people have to go elsewhere to bring catering and food in?
We definitely have the catering. Within our internal space, which is the flexible office space, we have Rising Roll as that in-house cafe.
Right.
Additionally, for the grand atrium and the grand events, which we had been talking about earlier, we have a list of preferred caterers who generally provide that catering need for the big events, the weddings, the corporate banquets, et cetera.
So it's like kind of a turnkey situation for if they're going to do events in these hotels, like you can offer soup to nuts, right?
We are very much A to Z soup to nuts.
Right.
We don't pretend that we can cook the food. We provide the venue and the chandeliers.
Right. But if I want grits, you've got a caterer with grits.
Stone, I would go out and find you grits.
Because that's a deal breaker for me, Robert. I got to tell you, I got to have grits. But I'm very excited. I want to hear more. And my my wife is equally excited about this 200 Office Center. She's ready to get me out of the basement. Tell us more about this 200 Office Center. That concept is just fascinating to me, and I'm really interested to hear more about that.
200 Office. It consists of roughly 8,000 square feet. It is in the mezzanine, one floor up from Peachtree Sidewalk. And really, the best thing I can say about 200 Office is what is the concept it was intended for. It is a place where people can have it as their office space and their workplace to meet people, to call their own, and have a combination of a comfortable, high-technology space to spend their workday and to be a member of it at a very affordable price. Back of the envelope, that's what we intended to accomplish.
And then in this space, they'll have access. It'll be kind of, they'll have internet access, obviously. But then there's also, if they need a conference room, they can have a conference room. If they, you know, if they want to have a big training opportunity, there's space for that. So it's a multi-purpose space.
It is. And the way that shakes out, Lee, is basic membership gets you admission every day, all day. Call the place your own, Wi-Fi, cafe, a number of intangible services. But built into the basic price are not amenities which people may not need, which people don't want to pay for if they don't need them. For example, many people will have no need for privacy.
Right.
And therefore, it's not built into that core price.
Right.
On the other hand, for those who need a small meeting room with video conferencing capability, et cetera, that is available for rental by the hour and also by the half day.
And so then the person, it's kind of a la carte. So they just pay for what they use.
It is a la carte, and they pay for what they use. The other three or so a la carte items are mailboxes. Built into the basic price, one can put on one's business card, 200 Office within 200 Peachtree, as their office address. However, if someone on the a la carte basis, if a member wants their mail delivered there, we will provide mailboxes for mail delivery. If one needs storage space, we can provide that. We believe that many, many people will come down there by MARTA, since we're right at the MARTA station.
Right, it's the Peachtree Center MARTA station?
It is.
Right.
But there will be those who drive their car, and then we will provide validation for parking. at an attractive downtown price.
Right.
And you brought one of your customers with you this morning, and he's more than just a regular customer. He's like this affiliate, Jim Jammy, gold level something or another. Describe that relationship, if you would.
One thing in our brainstorming that we came up with that we believe our members will want are certain amenities that they would have built in if they were an employee of a large corporation. For example, human resources,
right.
Website design, accounting, legal, commercial artist, public relations, and about a half dozen other. And we want to provide these services to all members where we have quality controlled and, as appropriate, discount priced to spare the member the need to go out and get distracted away from his business intention to having these. Another key one would be lending. We have a federal credit union who will be one of the affiliates also.
So you've already vetted these people, so they don't have to, right?
Lee, we are about two-thirds along the distance of having vetted our affiliates. We've got about two-thirds assembled and work in progress as to the remaining one-third. Now, one very important one, and it occupies such an important slot that we almost regard it as a presence unto itself, which is our accelerator program run by our very good friend, Professor Alan Urich, who's sitting next to me as we speak.
Yes, our Stage 2 Business Accelerator it has four components in it, and this is what we're so excited to work with Robert on, is that we're going to accelerate the growth of young entrepreneurial companies. To me, entrepreneurship, and I do instruct entrepreneurship at Georgia State University, but entrepreneurship and growing a business is not a intuitive. It is a learned experience, and that's what we're going to do. The accelerator puts in four areas. The first is space. Second is education. A third is that what we're going to do is we're going to have a roadmap for success, and we're going to work with each company individually to see how they can expand their particular companies appropriately. And the fourth is an advisory board, and I've got a strong network of senior-level, C-level people who want to help out. And by doing that, they can go on to the advisory board and help them out appropriately. Those are the areas that we're really going to get into by providing these companies a path to success. And
where do you find them? Do they approach you, or you're out there looking for them?
Both? Yeah, both. They approach me on different things. I get, as an investor, what I do is I do get a lot of business plans across my desk. I get about 20 business plans across my desk each week.
He's Gordon Gekko. Remember that line? I get 100 deals a day. And all that must be a really cool position to be in.
Well, you've got to really weed them out. It takes a long time to really get down to the ones that you really think have a real great shot of growing. Some of them do, but then you have to give them a growth plan. And these growth plans are what we want. That's where I see a lot of companies really not having. And what they don't have is that they don't have the strong management team to go forward. And they do have the market opportunity, and those are some of the things I look at. But the main thing is the business strategy of how they're going to get from A to Z. And Z, to me, is where they either merge or be acquired by another company. But those are some of the areas that we're going to help them and support them in that, with education, with advisory boards, with a roadmap that they can grow. And with Robert, with a 200 office, is space now where they can go and we can provide our programs.
So you're going to be kind of right there in this 200 office area?
Yes, we are. And so we're going to be supporting them.
So then the members will have access to this if they meet the criteria?
Yes. What I've done is I proposed about 15 different programs that we're going to include in this. Executive in residence, a lunch and learn, all these different programs. And these will help young companies to grow and to be, and those will be housed in the 200 office complex.
Do you have any part of your curriculum dedicated to people with really high financial ambition and low work ethic? And if so, how much?
No, not much. They have to have
I know a few people.
Work
like
ethic.
This must be incredibly rewarding work. And I wonder, what is it about this work do you find the most rewarding? And what do you find a little bit challenging from time to time, if not downright frustrating in working with these?
Oh, the rewards are to see these companies become successful and to see people grow and to and for us to help mentor them with my partners. And to that's certainly the reward that I see, you know. And when they can go and they can, then they become serial entrepreneurs. I love entrepreneurship. As we mentioned, I do teach entrepreneurship at Georgia State in the graduate and undergraduate programs. And by doing that, I see all these young companies, these young folks just understanding about the about that they can work for themselves, you know.
And that's a different kind of paradigm for a lot of people.
It is. It's risk taking. They have to understand the opportunity, what the opportunity is, and how the opportunity will leverage them to go further.
When you're working with the kids and at Georgia State, well, actually, you work not only with kids, but also people in corporate America as well, right?
Yes, I do. And I consult.
Are you finding that that nowadays there's more people that are interested in being an entrepreneur rather than, you know, before it used to be, I'm going to work for some big company and, you know, get a gold watch at the end of the day? That thinking seems to be now out the window.
Oh, absolutely. Since about 2005, there's so many more people that want to be entrepreneurs like Robert, you know, and by growing young companies and they want to work for themselves, they find that there's no loyalty in some of the larger companies anymore because there will be layoffs, and why not do something for themselves?
Right, and bet on yourself rather than somebody else.
Absolutely.
I like that. Bet on yourself. You could write a book. Bet on yourself.
Bet on yourself.
That's what it is.
But I'm curious, with the resources that are obviously available to you, being a part of the university system, why so attracted? Why pull the trigger and be a part of this 200 Peachtree? There must have been something about this space, about this concept that really compelled you to do that.
Because of the opportunity. I think the opportunity is there. From where the 200 Peachtree is, that area right there, is that there's no, I find that there's incubators and accelerators to grow technology companies, but we're not concentrating on technology companies. We're concentrating on all types of businesses. Franchise rescues, for example, will be one of them. But there's all types of businesses that just don't have a growth plan, and they don't know how. They might be a service organization that want to grow, and that's where I think the opportunity is. We do have technology accelerators here in Georgia, but we just don't have the ones that do everything, and that's what we're going to do, is we're going to leverage that particular opportunity in there.
Franchise rescuers. I wonder if they have, like, radio rescuers.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Well, Robert, you and your team must have been doing backflips when you found out that Alan and his crowd were interested in playing with you guys. I mean, that must have been incredible news.
I will tell you, Stone, there was a natural magnetism between what Alan does and his resources and what he brings to bear versus together with the entrepreneurial bent that we're occupying. And in terms of, say, the GSU resources, and by the way, we could not be more delighted that GSU is not only such a presence downtown, but an expanding presence, and very much seeming to be expanding into the direction that we occupy. Now, in terms of location, and again, with regard to the GSU factor in Allen, about 2 months ago, there was an article in Atlanta Business Chronicle rating the intersection of Peachtree and Ellis as the third, and this is a quote, the third greatest intersection in the city.
Wow.
So the location is there to be the foundation for entrepreneurs, and we believe that what we're doing at 200 Peachtree and within 200 Peachtree, 200 office, is about as entrepreneurial as it gets.
Now, do you find that it's kind of filling the void that some of the larger law firms kind of migrated up north a little bit to Midtown? Is there's now opportunity for these kind of entrepreneurial bent people to kind of fill that void in that part of town?
I'll answer that this way, Lee. I think what we very much want to do is create some reverse direction from the movement out of downtown.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to be a great city without a vibrant downtown. And mm-hmm. sure, our number one mission is to do well for my partners and our investors. But that said, any great city needs a vibrant downtown.
Right. And right where you're at, if you close your eyes, you feel like New York for that, yes. that block. Like,
yeah, a couple of blocks. You really do, don't you? And there's such a great, that's where we had that Philly and cheesesteak.
Right.
And oh, man, that was delicious. It's like New York.
I haven't been downtown for a long time until I saw your space. And it seems there's a vibrancy that's there that's almost contagious now.
Lee, we believe in that one block in front of us and then the one block farther north along Peachtree, that there is no other section in all of Atlanta that compares as much to the New York feel, the big city feel,
right.
as is present there.
Right. It seems like a lot of people are walking around. You got a lot of the kids from Georgia State are out and about. There's restaurants and Woodruff Park's right there.
The vibrancy has just changed. I've been teaching since 2007, been
right.
down there for about 4 years. And just in the last 2 years, the vibrancy of downtown with all the new restaurants that are opening. And I can't praise Mayor Kasim Reed enough to really bring in the different areas and restaurants
and
attractions,
right.
businesses. To downtown.
It seems reinvigorated.
And Georgia State is buying up a lot of properties around the
right.
area. So there's all kinds of
How do you think that's
going
to benefit that area by Georgia State purchasing so much space there?
Georgia State is one of the largest urban campuses in the world. Mm-hmm. And by doing that, what it's going to do is it's going to increase the businesses down there, because J. Mac Robinson is one of the best business schools in the nation. And it will bring people down there again and say, hey, let's relook at Atlanta, you know, and the glamour and the class, and especially the Macy's, the old Macy's building where the 200 Peachtree and 200 offices, the glamour and class that has been put back in. You know, Atlanta is back,
right.
You know, downtown Atlanta, and people do like downtowns.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's a 200 office center. Even if I've got a law firm, regional headquarters in Alpharetta or somewhere, I still want an outpost
mm-hmm.
downtown.
Stone, well said, and that is one of our major categories of members into 200 office. Those who, public relations firm in Alpharetta,
yeah.
want an outpost downtown at an affordable cost. Now, one other comment, you were talking about Georgia State University, Alan. It is a great plus in the overall presence of GSU. It's got its football team now,
mm-hmm.
residential housing
right.
Within the last couple of years. Just all the more adds to the presence and the helpfulness to downtown of GSU. Now, also while on the subject of downtown, what's just coming on more and more is downtown as a tourist attraction spot. In addition to Atlanta being the third or fourth largest convention center, now downtown has Aquarium, World of Coke,
right,
CNN Center,
and a bunch of museums. Right, they're just
museums
all around.
Soon to open Civil Rights Museum,
right.
College Football Hall of Fame. You can come
wow.
to Atlanta, stay in a downtown hotel, and for 2 or 3 days,
just stay downtown the whole time.
Have an abundance of attractions to
right.
visit.
Yeah, I think that it's definitely coming back, and what you guys are doing are definitely an important part of that.
And Robert, you're also talking about bringing Christmas back to Peachtree. The glamour. Of
that's right. Wasn't that pink pig on top of the roof at the old Macy's building?
They've taken the pink pig to Macy's at Lenox Square in the
right,
parking lot.
But it used to be historically, it was right downtown, right?
I used to ride it myself. but we would like to
start a new tradition.
We'd like to bring Christmas back to downtown Atlanta. Everything from shopping, dozens of vendors to competition of Christmas tree decorations, mm-hmm. parties, performances, choirs, and et cetera, Santa workshops. I think there's a lot of support for the reintroduction to downtown of Christmas.
So now, if somebody wanted information about using the venue as an event, they can contact? Can you share who they contact? Because that's two separate things, right? The events and then the 200 office, if they're interested in becoming members.
That is correct, Lee. And what I would say as to both is go to the website, and it'll direct you to how to have an event within 200 Peachtree and how to become a member of 200 office.
And then what's the website?
The website for the event space and the conference space is 200peachtree.com.
Uh-huh.
And the website for our flexible office space, 200 office, is 200-office.com.
Right. And those are two separate things, but they're within the same...
Under the same roof. That is correct. And we believe they are much synergistic to each other.
Oh, absolutely. Now, Stone, what do you think of that?
This rocks. We got to have these guys back. I want your event manager to come on and talk about the events. I want someone from 200 Office after it's up and rolling a little bit, maybe a couple of clients that are using that space. And I'd love to have a couple of your young companies that are coming through your accelerator. Don't you think that would make a couple of good shows?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, one show can't contain
these
two.
We will do it. Yes.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, that'll be great. All right. Well, that wraps up another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. This is Lee Cantor for my co-host, Stone Payton. We will see you next week.